Eric Bays, may our learning be a schus lili nishmas, Reb Aaron Yudalei ben Reb Noach Tzvi of blessed memory. The first Mishnah discusses the fact that we had learned in the last chapter that produce past Kziv, produce from the north of Israel past the town of Kziv, is from an area that had never been sanctified by the second temple. It was only sanctified in the first temple era. And therefore, when the sages created the law of Demai, they never created the law of Demai there. However, this Mishnah is teaching us that there are certain things, even in those places, that were not conquered by the Jews of the Second Temple, the Olei Bavel. Nevertheless, these things certainly are obligated in Demai, because we can assume that they came from Eretz Yisrael. Ve'elu dvar mesasrim Demai b'chol makom. These are things that in every place, even north of Kziv, you would have, if you bought it from an Am Haaretz, you would have to retithe it, namely hadvela, circles of figs that were pressed together, vatmarim, and the dates from Israel, ve'acheruvim, and the beautiful straight caribs that come from Eretz Yisrael, ha'orez, the special white rice that comes from Eretz Yisrael, va'kamon, and cumin that comes from Eretz Yisrael. There is other rice that doesn't look like this special white rice. That's ha'orez shebechutz la'aretz, the rice from outside of Israel. Kol ha'mishtamesh bimenu, if you're using that even in Eretz Yisrael, pater, that is exempt from the ma'aser of Demai, because clearly that came from outside of Israel, and no one would confuse it with the rice of Israel. And therefore, if you're using it in Israel, no one's going to think, oh, I see that even the rice of Israel can be used without a new tithe, and therefore there's no obligation of separating 10% of it. The second Mishnah deals with a person who was an Am Haaretz and wants to leave the status of Am Haaretz so that he should now be trusted in regards to Ma'asros. Hamakabel Olav Liyos Naman, someone who accepts on himself to now be loyal and not to be suspect in regards to his tithes. There, ma'aser eshu ochel, he has to give ma'aser from whatever he eats, ve'eshu mocher, and whatever he sells from his fields, ve'eshu lokeach, whatever he would buy in order to sell, he has to give ma'aser from that, ve'enu misareach etzal ha'aretz, and he also has to make a commitment not to be a guest and to eat or drink at the home of an Am Haaretz who is suspect about maestros. He has to do this in front of three. He has to make this public declaration. And when witnesses testify that he made this commitment in public and he's carrying it out, he now becomes someone who is believed about his produce. And if he says tithes were taken from it, we would believe him. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Af ha-mitzareach etzel Am Haaretz Naman. This last piece, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is not necessary. Someone who wants to exit the status of Am Haaretz, as long as he takes ma'aser from what he eats, he takes ma'aser from what he sells, he takes ma'aser from what he buys in order to sell, he would be believed if he made a commitment to do it and he's carrying out that commitment, even if he still eats himself at the home of an Am Haaretz. Amulo, the sages said, no. Alatz me'eno ne'eman. If a guy eats at the home of an Am Haaretz, he's clearly not so careful about what he owns, he eats himself. And therefore, ketzegei ne'eman al shel acherim, how would we believe him about others? How would we believe him in terms of what he sells to others? The third Mishnah deals with another status, the status of a chaver. A chaver is someone who, besides being careful about shumos and maestros, is also careful about matters of purity, and sometimes a chaver is called a parush. Hamakabel olav liyos chaver, someone who wants to accept upon himself that he is a chaver, he's a parush, he wants to make a public commitment, a strong and binding commitment that will give him the assumed status of being always tahor. So what does he need to do? He has to take on the following. Eino mocher la'am ha'aretz lach v'yavesh. He has to resolve not to sell to an Am Haaretz things that are moist, that easily can become tame, and even things that are dry, because an Am Haaretz is very tame, and he will probably rinse those things that are dry and then make them tame. Ve'eino lokeach b'menu lach. He has to also resolve not to buy things from an Am Haaretz that are already moist, because things that are moist could have become tame. However, things that are been dry from the very beginning, then they were never mukshar lekabel tuma. He can buy that from an alma aretz. Ve'enu misareach etzel alma aretz. He has to also resolve not to be a guest at the home of an alma aretz. Ve'lo ma'archo etzlo b'ksuso, and not to host an alma aretz while the alma aretz is wearing his garments, because the garments of an alma aretz have a high level of tuma. Maybe the wife of the alma aretz, while she was in nida, sat on these garments. They might be an av hatumah, a medris, and therefore, if he's careful about tumah, he wouldn't bring in an ama aretz who's wearing such tummy items into his home. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yehuda says that's not enough. He also needs to make a commitment, aflo yigadol behem adaka, not to raise the thin animals like goats in Eretz Yisrael, because goats eat a lot and they might go into eating in someone else's field. He has to be someone who doesn't make lots of vows, because if you make lots of vows, you inevitably violate some vows. Uveschok, and not to be someone who's lightheaded, because lightheaded people lead a person, lightheadedness leads to arayos. He has to be someone who does not become tame to dead bodies ever. Umeshamesh, pervesa medrash, you'd also have to be a person who spends a lot of time in yeshiva, and he learns at a high level, at a level of analysis. However, the sages disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. They said, no, lobo elu l'chlal, these are not included into the matters of impurity, and here we only are needing someone to change, to become trusted in regards to purity, so he doesn't need to also make a commitment about theft or about high levels of learning. Tzmai has leniencies to it. And therefore, hanach tomim, bakers, let's say you have talmidei chachamim who are buying grain from amaratzim, and they're bakers, they're not making much of a profit, and therefore, lo chivu osam chacham lahafrish, the sages did not say that they need to separate all the tithes from the tmai, elekadei trumas meiser, they only have to give 1%, which is trumas meiser, and they have to give challah, they have to give dough, and they have to give that to the kohen. But meiser sheni, they don't need to separate. The buyer of the bread will have to separate it, because the bakers are under pressure by the government to sell at a very low price, and therefore they don't make much profit. So the sages didn't say that they also need to give away Maaser Sheni, because that'll make it very, very difficult for them. Hachenvani, a shopkeeper, Hachenvanim, the shopkeepers, Einan Rashaim Limkores HaDmai, they are not allowed to sell Dmai, they need to separate Trumas Meiser, they need to separate Meiser Sheni as well. And the reason is because they do make a nice profit. And because they make a nice profit, the sages said, okay, you take care to make sure that whatever you sell is 100% kosher. Give away the second, you know, separate the second 10%, the Meiser Sheni. Now, Kol Hamashmiyim B'Midah Gasa, all those sellers who sell with large quantities, so they don't make much profit, Rashoyim Limkor Sadmai, they are allowed to sell Dmai. So since they don't make a large profit, the sages did not obligate them to separate the Maestros from the Dmai. The buyers are the ones who should separate the Maestros. Elu Heina Mashbim B'Midah Gasa, what are examples of people who sell in large quantities? Kagona Sitonos, that would be wholesalers, Umochre Tfua, and people who sell wheat. And they sell in very large amounts, and therefore they don't make much profit. They don't need to separate the Maaser Sheni. The buyers from them will separate the Maaser Sheni. Rabbi Meir, Omer Rabbi Meir says that Shadark li madid begasa, if you have something that's normally sold in large quantities, let's say wheat, umedado bedaka, and this time it was sold in a very small quantity, tvela daka lagasa, the small quantity is secondary to the large quantity, and it is exempt from, the seller is exempt from separating the Maestros from the Dmai. Things that are normally sold in small quantities, umedado begasa, and this time he sold it in a very large quantity, let's say legumes, tvela gasa ladaka, the large quantity is secondary to the smaller quantity, and it has the status of something that was sold in a small quantity, and there is an obligation to separate Dmai and the Maaser Sheni from it before one sells it. Ezohi midagasa, what's the definition of a large quantity, a large measuring amount, biyavish, talking about dry things, let's say wheat, Shlosha kabin, that which can hold three kav, namely that which holds 6 liters. Uvalach, and moist things, dinar, that which would go for a dinar worth of moist, you know, let's say, what would a dinar, how much oil or wine would a dinar purchase? That's already considered a large quantity. Rabbi Yossi, Omer Rabbi Yossi says, Salei tzeinim v'salei anavim v'kupos shel yerek, a guy who's selling baskets of figs, baskets of grapes, or boxes of vegetables, calls manshu mochron achsura, if he's selling them not based on weight, not based on measure, but based on an assessment, based on an assumption, an estimate, so then Potter, he's exempt from separating Dmai, because that's considered like someone who's selling in large quantities, is not making much profit. Let the buyer separate the 10% of my Sersheni from what he buys. That completes the second chapter of Maseches Dmai.